Dear sisters and brothers, before I begin to preach, I want to bring you the greetings of my Baptist Church in Berlin-Spandau, which is especially praying for you and for us today also, and also the greetings of our Baptist Union in Germany. We are very happy to have this link now a little bit within the Baptists in Northern Ireland. And I have one further remark. As you know, I'm German. Normally, I speak a lot of German, it's true, and a lot of French. I'm fluently French-speaking in different African churches. But I do not speak so often English. Therefore, sometimes my words might be English, but they sound German or French. By that, sometimes I make some funny mistakes, but it's for the glory of God. We have heard the story about the feeding of the 5,000. I will preach about it. The disciples are so happy when they came back to Jesus. They have made wonderful experiences at a kind of evangelism campaign when Jesus had sent them out to preach the gospel and to heal. And it was a wonderful experience for the disciples that they made similar experiences as they have made with Jesus himself. They preached the gospel, people converted, and they laid their hands on people and they healed people. They were so happy when they came back to Jesus. And Jesus wanted to take them with him to have a rest, to be in calm before God. And the disciples had to learn a new lesson now at the side of Jesus, that to be a disciple of Jesus, this is not only a wonderful event with a story of success, but to be a disciple of Jesus often is a challenge, and we have to handle our lack of faith and our despair face to all these needs and challenges around us. I think the main word in this passage is the word of Jesus: you give them something to eat. The disciples face the reality of thousands of people who are hungry in the desert, and they do not know how to feed them. And Jesus does not do like that a miracle to feed them, but he wants to challenge his disciples that they feed themselves, thousands of people, using the few means they have. I am very much inspired by my experiences as missionary in Cameroon. I was strongly impressed by the Cameroonian Baptists when they used for many years as their motto, as their slogan, this word of Jesus: you give them something to eat. This was their motto as a union for 4 years or even 5 years, because they say if we use this motto only for 1 year, it will not be operational. It will not fall into the heart of our Christians. And by that, for 4 or 5 years, they use this word: you give them something to eat. You, as weak and tiny number of followers of Jesus, you give them something to eat. Most Cameroonians struggle themselves for survival. They struggle to have enough to eat for their families and for their own stomach. Nevertheless, the Cameroonians decided to take these words as challenge for their own faith and life. They were poor people, this is true, but they wanted to get off the attitude of a beggar who is living off the help and charity of European and American Christians and missions. They chose these words of Jesus: you give them something to eat. They chose these words because they wanted to become free and independent and proud human beings, responsible of themselves. And they made wonderful experiences of self-sufficiency and of the possibilities they have, even with their few means, to help their population. They discovered that they finally have enough means to help for in our own context and in their surroundings. The situation of Jesus and his disciples was quite difficult. Jesus withdraws with his disciples to have some rest and some calm in the presence of God. They are tired and exhausted, and they needed some calm. In the reports of the other Gospels, we read that Jesus was sad because the king had killed John the Baptist, his spiritual father and his friends. But people do not accept their withdrawal. They follow them into the desert because they want to hear more words of godly wisdom. They want to experience more acts of salvation. People are looking for help. They hope to find this help in Jesus, and Jesus does not refuse. He is healing and preaching and giving comfort. The situation of Jesus might be similar to our situations and to all human situations through all places and all times of history. Jesus is doing his best. He is helping. He is giving comfort. He is healing. But finally, there is much more need, and the work does not end. The situation is so challenging, so much despair, so many illnesses, that the deeds of Jesus and of the disciples sometimes are, we say in German, like a drop of water on a hot stone, which is evaporating in one moment. Until today, we are surrounded by problems and questions and needy situations. We should engage here and there and help here and there. But finally, we ourselves, we are in problems. We feel ill. We feel weak. We have problems in our job, in our family. We suffer of unemployment. Yes, we are Christians. Yes, we are disciples of Jesus. Yes, but we also are human beings. Women and men having similar problems like all people around us. And we shall help. We shall act in the name of Jesus. We shall bring the salvation of Jesus into the world. Oh no. We prefer to cry out, Jesus. Jesus, come. Jesus, come into the situation. Jesus, come with your help. We ask for miracles because we feel overstrained. Jesus, come and help us out of this mess. And you know the answer of Jesus? Jesus says, yes. Yes, I come. Yes, I help you. I help you with the means that you have at your disposal. It is true. Our possibilities, our capacities often are small, too small to change something, too smallish to ameliorate the situations. But it's really interesting in this story of the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus stays in the background. Those who are in front are the disciples. They worry about the many, many people. They worry about themselves. Hello, Jesus. Jesus, hello. Look at the sun. It's disappearing. It's time of sunset. Jesus, stop preaching. It's time. Send the people away. Send them home. If not, we will have a problem. And Jesus says, no, no, no. It's not necessary that they go somewhere to find something to eat, to sleep. We have a good time together. No, you give them something to eat. You. The disciples are shocked. Jesus, we don't have anything. Only 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Jesus, this is not enough for all these people. It is just enough for us, perhaps. They lift up their eyes and they see thousands of people looking to them, and they see their hunger. The hunger of their stomach, the hunger of their souls. And the disciples feel that panic rising in their heart because they know they cannot satisfy this hunger. Jesus, hello, Jesus, please send them away. We cannot help them. Dear sisters and brothers, to be honest, we can understand the disciples. We understand them very well. They think like we think. They feel as we feel. They speak. They act like we do. They are like we are. As Christians, we do not have big revolutionary capacities to resolve all the problems we have. There is so much need, so much work around us, but we also experience the lack of power, the lack of capacities, the lack of co-workers. And we know them who are hungry of love and of fellowship, who need our time and our ears. We know them who need our assistance, our colleague, our neighbor, our comrades. But how shall we handle all this without losing ourselves? We must take care of ourselves. We must see that we do not perish ourselves in our problems. Our forces are limited. Our nerves are in tension. Our soul is wounded. So what? Faced to all these challenges, we stand at the side of Jesus saying, Lord, our strength is so small, we cannot do it. We cannot do even more. And Jesus is answering, give what you have, and it's okay. Give the few what you have, and it's okay. It's okay because Jesus will use our small and limited capacities to do his miracles. Jesus does not want us to do miracles. He does not want us to perish when we serve other people. Jesus does not want us to come into a burnout situation. Jesus will accept our limits. But he is asking one thing, and this is the point. Give to me what you have. The small capacity you have, bring it to me. Perhaps you think what you have, it does not really matter. But in the eyes of Jesus, the few you have is much. Jesus says, give what you have, and I am with you until the end of the days. And I operate much more things than you can imagine. This is an essential part of the gospel and the history of the church. God will build up his church. God will bring his kingdom with very simple, limited people. The disciples of Jesus were simple people, fishermen, those who perhaps did not even know to read and to write. With these people, God has begun his story of the church. They were not big philosophers or religious leaders, politicians or priests, but fishermen and craftsmen. What enormous experiment. With these limited men, God created his church. All the angels in heaven are looking at the earth, their eyes widely open to see whether this experiment will succeed. God might have taken the best angels around him as missionaries to send them onto the earth to spread the gospel all over the world. But God decided otherwise. God decided to work with us, with his creations, simple, limited, sometimes sinful human beings. He decided to work with us, men and women, to bring his love into the world. I am very thankful to God that many centuries ago, Irish-Scottish monks came from this island. They went onto their boats, they prayed to God that he may lead them somewhere where he can use them. Irish-Scottish monks, and they arrived at the coast of France, and they entered into France, and they crossed through France to arrive in Germany. These were Irish-Scottish monks who were the first evangelists in Germany. And that I'm a Christian today, it's grace to Irish-Scottish monks in the 9th century or 8th century. And these monks were not coming with power and big philosophies. They were simple men with one message in their hearts. God decided to work with weak and limited human beings to bring His love into the world. Many pastors in Germany know this difficult experience that sometimes they cannot really help. They are longing for more training, for more psychological training, theological training, because so often we experience our limits. It is good to continue to learn and to engage in additional training programs. By this we might enlarge our limits. But finally, we will always hurt onto our limits. We will always have this feeling of our helplessness, of our impotence, that we cannot help as we think that we should do. Again and again we feel that we cannot offer enough. Our competences are too few. We are not trained enough. We are not competent enough. We are not strong enough. Not enough. Not enough. Oh, oh, oh. And the disciples said to Jesus, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Give what you have and you will see the miracles of God. Give what you have and you will experience God, the Almighty." The disciples obey. Their heart is beating, loudly beating. In their heart they shake their head because of this nonsense. They are full of doubts, but they do what Jesus is saying. And this is the moment when they see the miracle of God, when they obey. Jesus uses the few they gave to Him. He uses the few to make out of it a lot. And He is multiplying the few that all get something to eat. Tell me, in which moment happens the miracle? In which moment? Imagine the disciples are disheartened. They give the few bread and fish. And now Jesus takes it. He is asking the disciples to make sit down the people in groups. He is praying. Oh yes, He is praying. Jesus is praying. This might be the moment of the miracle. But there was no miracle. Jesus says, "Amen." And He still has the 5 pieces of bread and the 2 fish. Then He is breaking the bread. Oh, this might be the moment of the miracle. But there was no miracle. Still few bread, few fish for too many people. In no text we find the answer to the question, how bread and fish multiply. But we discover in which moment the multiplication takes place. The miracle happens in the moment when the disciples are dispensing bread and fish. With tears in their eyes, with a heart full of despair, the disciples go out to the people with a few bread, a few fish. And they dispense what they have. It is in the moment when they begin to share what they have that the miracle takes place. They dispense the few and they get aware of the fact that their baskets never get empty. It is until the last second that the tension is on the disciples. What will happen? This action might be the biggest fiasco of their life. But in the moment of their obedience, in the moment when they begin to share, the power of God becomes reality. No seconds before. This means for us and for all Christians in all times, give the few you have and you will experience God. We cannot stay being seated in the chair, mourning to God about our limits, asking for liberation and the big spiritual anointment, remaining seated and waiting for the miracle of God. We might wait for a very long time for the heavenly miracle, which will never happen. But if we get up, if we take the risk to hand on the love of God in the name of Jesus, in words and in deeds, then we will experience the miracle of the multiplication of our limited strength. of our limited possibilities. If you stay seated, thinking that you have nothing, that you are nothing, you can't do anything, then you will miss the fantastic possibilities of God. To be anxious, it's not dramatic. Sometimes we are anxious as man and as woman, but God is greater than our anxiousness. Jesus is bigger than our doubts and complexes. The possibilities of God are enormous, much more enormous than we can imagine. God wants to satisfy the hunger of life of man and woman, but he needs us with our small forces, with our frayed nerves. He needs us with our tiny time. Our time, our personal commitment, is the most precious thing we can offer to people in our hectic society. Please, be aware of people who cross your way, people who might need you, your time, your word, your ear. It might be God who brought these people next to you, that you might share something of your life. And God wants us to become his hand and his mouth. Once again, it's not the will of God that we faint under all the challenges. From time to time, Jesus takes his disciples out of the daily stress and they reload their batteries of life in communion with God. It's no question that we should enter into a kind of activism, an activist lifestyle, that we help everyone, everywhere, without taking care of ourselves. God wants us to be happy, to be full of joy, and he wants us, at the same time, to share our life and our capacities with others, giving and receiving. We should not take us too important and bloat ourselves in our capacities, but we should live up to the tasks God prepares for us. We should take in the place which God shows us, that the love of God really arrives among men and women. If we hear this, we might frighten, we might fear that this task will overburden us. It is true, we do not have big things to offer, and it's true, often we feel weak and disheartened, but Jesus will use our small possibilities to multiply it and to satisfy the hunger of men and women. We will discover this truth and the power of this message when we do it, when we try to commit, when we try to engage. God will not do his miracle in anticipation, but in the moment when we engage. Use your small forces. Use them, and you will be astonished about that, what God will do. Amen.